Lisa Niver worked for 7 years on board Princess Cruises, Royal Caribbean, and Renaissance Cruises. And now she's a travel journalist who's been to 101 countries. I wonder that she keeps count, and writes for a range of media from Los Angeles. But what particularly caught our attention when she got in touch was her project to do 50 scary and challenging things before her 50th birthday. Well, she's done them and more. She spoke to Graham Kemlow earlier today.
Lisa, welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Well, you offered and I grabbed the chance because I had a spare spot on the show this week. And it's great to be able to talk to somebody. Now, you've been to how many countries?
I've now been to 101.
That's a lot. How many are there on your list? I know there are a few different versions of how many countries in the world. How many have you got?
That's such a good question. I believe the United Nations list is 197. Does that sound right? There's a 100 countries just in Africa. They're, depending on different lists, I belong to something also called the Century Club, the Traveler's Century Club, and you can join if you've been to 100 countries. But the way they count, I think they have almost 330 countries. So Alaska and Hawaii count separately from the United States because they're geographically separated.
Pretty hard to drive there.
It's very hard to drive there. And different parts of Indonesia, they count separately, which really, given how different the different parts of Indonesia are, it makes sense to me that that's their theory. So I think that's one of the hardest things is how do you count? Depending on who's counting, could be 193, 195, 197.
So. Yeah, okay. So you've got a few things still to do.
Absolutely. What? And honestly, I like to go back to places too.
That's interesting because some people say, you know, never go back. But I'm a bit like you. If I found somewhere that was great, I'd like to go back and have a bit more great.
Well, I think the other thing is when you don't know a place, like you're very close to Indonesia, so a lot of people in Australia get the chance to go to Bali and the other islands a bit more frequently maybe than people from California. And what's fascinating to me is people say, oh, I've been to Bali. But Indonesia is the largest archipelago. And so they're, you know, going to one part, like being in Sumatra is so different than being in Kalimantan. And, you know, it's different religion, different cultures, different languages. It's different. And so, you know, for people to say, I've been there and I've done that, I'm like, well, you've seen something. That's fantastic. But there might be more to discover.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me, Lisa, mm-hmm. you started out in the cruise industry. You were part of the Merchant Marine, were you?
After college, I went to grad school in Northern California, and I decided I wasn't in the right place, and I left. I was going to go to be a doctor. I left medicine, and I started teaching. And while I was teaching, I discovered my new favorite hobby, which was scuba diving. And I couldn't afford to scuba dive on my teaching salary. So I was brainstorming, like, what could I do? And a friend recommended maybe I would like to work at Club Med. And so I applied to Club Med and they hired me, but they hired me for a village in the mountains to go skiing all season.
Oh.
And I was a bit disappointed because I had it, you know, my mind said I wanted to go scuba diving. In any case, I went on this scuba trip while I was deciding what to do. And we had terrible weather and terrible storms. And I was seasick the whole time.
Oh.
And I was lying on the back of the boat going, I am moving to the mountains.
Right.
So I always wondered if it had been a nice trip, would I have missed like this whole career? Because I really didn't want to. I don't know why. Looking back now, I can't believe that I for a moment hesitated to go skiing. But anyway, I went to the ski village and the woman in charge promised me, she goes, the next village will be in the islands. You'll be able to scuba dive. So in fact, I did work for them in the Bahamas. And over the course of working for Club Med, I ended up meeting people that worked for a cruise ship. I worked in the kids program because I was a qualified teacher. It turned out working on the ship was twice as much money per month and the ship moved. So every day you woke up somewhere else. And I was like, this is amazing. So I hopped on over and I ended up working for Princess Cruises, Royal Caribbean Cruises, and Renaissance Cruises. And every contract, I was like, this is it. I am done. No more ships. And then the office would call me like, so would you like to go to Asia? I'm like, okay, I'm going to Asia, but that is my last contract.
Right.
And then they call me and they say, what do you think about sailing between Auckland and Sydney? I'm like, okay, I'm going to go one more.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful introduction to the travel industry, though. Ultimately, I guess, though, you get a little bit tired of being away from family and friends, etc.
It is hard to be away. I usually did a 4-month or a 6-month contract, and you definitely miss things. You know, like one time I skipped a contract they offered me so that I could be home when my nephew was born. I wanted to be in America. So that is a challenge. Like, just with a friend of mine who said something about her wedding. And she's like, you weren't at my wedding. I'm like, no, that's when I was away at sea. You know, there's advantages and disadvantages. Obviously, waking up and, you know, diving all the time, waking up in new countries. For me, it was worthwhile. And I loved it. And I also managed to make friends. So with every department. So I would help out the photographers when they were busy. And this, I worked on ships at the time there was still film. And so they would develop my film for free and used to help the shore excursions team. They had to cut their little tickets and stickers and deliver them. And so they would give me free tours. And it was a lot of bartering.
Oh, well, that sounds fair. No tax on that. Now, what caught my attention in your email was that you had this promise to yourself to do 50 crazy things by the time you turned 50. Now, I gather you've actually achieved that objective and you've sort of gone beyond. Give us an idea of some of the crazy or challenging things that you set for yourself that you've actually managed to achieve.
I would say the one that was the most heart-racing for me was I actually went mountain biking at North Star up in Tahoe in California. So I went mountain biking on a ski hill.
With and snow on it, or when?
What no, time? In the summer.
Oh,
in the summer.
I've seen the guys at Whistler doing that. That's a crazy thing to do.
Honestly, I thought I might die that day. The PR person, her name's Marcy. Marcy said to me, why don't you come back in the summer and go mountain biking? And I said, oh, no, I'm terribly scared. I had an accident when I was little, and I'm too frightened. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I thought that your 50 things was to challenge yourself. And I said, oh, I really hate it when you use my words against me. And she said, listen, if you do it, I'll do it too. And so that made me consider it. So I looked at her and I said, you know what, if you get me a teacher that doesn't mind crying and it's a private lesson, I might come. So I had an eye issue growing up, which is why I had a lot of childhood accidents. And unfortunately, we did not figure out what the problem was until I was an adult. So we just thought I was clumsy.
Right.
And so part of the 50 things was inspired by fixing my eyes. So I thought I was joking when I said I wanted a teacher that didn't mind crying, but I actually did cry. Mm-hmm. And I said to I had two instructors. That's how challenging a student I was. Anyway, Shep said to me, you haven't fallen. You're doing great. I believe in you. You can do it. And he ended up taking me on a blue intermediate run. First, I cried, but then I did it. And I did really well. So the 50 things was really great for all the things that I've believed my whole life, that I'm not an athlete and I'm clumsy and I'm not talented in sports. And now I've really had to give all that up because everything I tried, I did really well at.
Wow. But you've gone past 50. And is there any sort of major crazy thing you still would attempt to do?
Oh, that's such a good question. But for my actual 50th birthday, I jumped out of a plane. I went skydiving.
Right.
That was the thing that I never, ever in a million years, like if my 50-year-old self had called my 49-year-old self and said, this year, these are the things you are going to do, I would have hung up.
Right. I like that.
I would have been like, I don't know who you are, but there's no way you're me in 365 days. This is ridiculous. I might be coming later this year to Sydney, and they asked me if I would do the Harbour Bridge climb, and that sounds terrifying, so I might try that.
I think it's fairly safe. They've had some people up there who probably have no reason to risk anything. So, yeah, I think you might enjoy that, and certainly it's one of the world's great views. Tell me, we've only got a short amount of time left, but what's your favourite country in the 101 that you've visited so far?
That's such a good question. I like different places for different things. I was able to go to Mongolia and walk in the dunes of the Gobi Desert, and I loved being out in the middle of the vast expanse of nothingness. I saw the moon rise. I just loved that feeling of being away, because I feel like that's so hard in today's age with social media.
Sure.
And I love being underwater. I love scuba diving. I went to Bonaire as one of my 50 things, and I had always wanted to dive there, and that is amazing.
Where is that, Lisa?
Bonaire is in the Caribbean. It's the ABC Islands, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. I call it kind of the Southern Caribbean. It's almost Northern South America. It's so far south. That was beautiful.
And have you done the Great Barrier Reef underwater?
No, that's on my list. I'd love to come visit.
Ah, well, maybe when you're here in later in the year, you could take a plane ride up to Cairns and go out and do something like that. I think you'd really enjoy that. See it while it's still there, I think, is a good motto.
Yes, our planet could use some champions and some help, I agree. So I would love to. I mean, you have so many incredible things to visit on your continent.
But thank you very much for being on Travel Writers Radio.
Thank you so much.
Another country, another challenge. Lisa Niver speaking there with Graham Kemlow about her crazy 50s challenge and beyond.
Well, that's Travel Writers Radio for this week. I think Lisa Niver might be a bit of a find for us. She was just saying to me off air that you know, when you've been to 100-odd countries, you don't have to look at a press release because you know what's there in Curacao. And she rattled off a whole bunch of Indonesian islands, some of which I had to confess I hadn't heard of, to make the point that, you know, Bali isn't Indonesia. You know, Bali's
Bali.
Oh,
Bali's quite different.
And so, you know, I think she could be quite handy. And Los Angeles is not a city that we've had coverage from because we rely upon journalists are in the Carolinas, in Florida, in Oregon, which is where Michelle Winner is. So, yeah, we might hear a little bit more.
That
from
would be great.
Lisa and Ivan.
But how often is she home?
Well, I think she's home more because she sort of gave up being a nomad, she said.
Oh, okay, and she's done her challenges, some of them anyway.
Oh, she's done more. She says she's on her way to the second 50, but doesn't know whether to call it the 100 before she turns 100 or what. But good on her. I really like her. I like her grit, and I love her her vivacity. You can hear it in her voice. You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on J Air 87.8 FM.